Tonight, I just want to share what God's been speaking to me, to my life. So I'm just going to preach to myself, and if it blesses you, well, then you can take it. But God has been speaking into my life some things, and let's pray again. Thank you, Father, for this night. Thank you for bringing each and every one of us tonight to this place. Thank you, Father, for your love and for your mercy that is new every morning. Thank you, Father, because without it, I couldn't be here, and I don't know what it would be of me if I didn't have your presence, your love, and your mercy every morning. We thank you, and I just ask you that you will help me give this message with your grace and your wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. So, in my daily reading last Wednesday, it started. I didn't start reading daily last Wednesday, but last Wednesday, God just started to speak some things into my life. And, well, we all know, number one, God is love, right? And we are all called to love God. We're all called to, number one, love God. And I really, really love God. I don't know if I have said it enough, but I'm really passionate about Him. And my only desire is to please Him, and that's it. And, I don't know if you guys know, but I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect, and sometimes, I don't know if this happens to any of you, but since my desire and priority is to please God and love Him, I'm very careful in my walk with God. And so sometimes, honestly, I know I'm not perfect. No, I'm not perfect, but sometimes I feel like I'm like pretty close to it. Because, you know, I'm just like watching my step, and as I said, I know I'm not perfect, but sometimes I'm like, I'm doing good, you know? I'm check myself and I'm like, I'm doing good. I'm good job, Denise. As I was saying, we're called to love God, which is very easy. It's very easy to love God, right? But that's not where it all stays. There's another side to the coin, and that is number two, to love others, to love our neighbor as ourselves. And so we're called to love others too, not just God. And the commandment there's 10 commandments, but they were summed up to two. Love God with all your heart and everything, and love your neighbor as yourself. So here I am reading my Bible, and of course I already knew that I need to love God and love others, but the thing here is that we cannot love God if we don't love others. You know, the coin has two faces, as I was saying. So it's the same coin, and we cannot say that we love God if we don't love our neighbors. And 1 John 4:20, if you can go there with me. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. It says, if someone says, I love God, but hates a Christian brother or sister, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? Right? And when I read this, I'm going to be very honest. Not that I'm not honest with you every time I stand here, but I'm going to be very open with all of you. When I read this, it like really hit me. Like, God, I had asked God, you know, Psalm 139, verse 24, it says, point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. And so that's my prayer to God in between others, but I always tell him, don't let me go to the left or to the right. And if there's something in me that doesn't please you, show it to me so I can remove it. And so last Wednesday I was reading my Bible and I read this, and it just like, it pierced me because God reminded me, I'm not sure if I just thought about it or if I said it actually out loud to Eric, but I found myself one time thinking or saying, oh, I can't stand that person. I can't stand so-and-so. And so when I was reading this, God reminded me of that. I was like, that you love who? Who did you say you love? And it just broke me. It broke me, and because basically what God was telling me is like, you don't love me, or you cannot love me if you say you can't stand so-and-so. And I was just like, oof. And well, let's just keep on reading verse 21. There in 1 John 4 says, and he has given us this command, those who love God must also love their Christian brothers and sisters. And I don't think that it's not that I don't think. In the word, you find it in other places. It's not just exclusive for our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's for everyone. We must love everyone we come across. And I'm gonna read most from the Message, because that's the Bible that I've been reading this year. I like changing Bibles this year, so like it kind of jumps up more, I think. Well, even if you don't change Bibles, it still jumps up, but I like reading different versions. So 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. Oh, no, sorry. Chapter 3, verse 9 and 10 in the Message says, people conceived and brought into life by God don't make a practice of sin. How could they, right? God's seed is deep within them, making them who they are. It's not in the nature of God begotten to practice and parade sin. I was like, oh yeah, I'm good. Here's how you tell the difference between God's children and the devil's children. The one who won't practice righteous ways isn't from God, nor is the one who won't love brother or sister. A simple test. I was like, well, I just failed this test. I was like, oh my goodness. And I know there's people that is very easy to love, but there's other people that is not that easy to love, right? It's just, we think different. We just, you know, and I'm a very perfectionist person. I don't care if something takes me long to do, but like in school when I was studying architecture, I struggle a lot because sometimes I wouldn't sleep all night because I just wanted it to be perfect, and I would like come, I'd almost change from the clothes I had just to, and like in time, deliver the assignment, drawing or the model, thank you. Because I just like, well, one, I will like plan like bigger than I should have. And then I will try to fulfill that. But so what I'm trying to say with this is that sometimes I probably expect more of people or just think in a different way. And so when it doesn't happen that way, I'm like frustrated, and that shouldn't matter, right? Because God's love covers all that. And so the way we know that we've been transferred from death to life is if we love our brothers and sisters. Because we see a lot of people, we don't see God. So we need to love the people we see if we say that we love God. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 and 5. Yes. Here is how we can be sure that we know God in the right way. Keep his commandments. If someone claims, I know him well, but doesn't keep his commandments, he obviously is a liar. His life doesn't match his words, but the one who keeps God's word is a person in whom we see God's mature love. And that's what I was talking about, you know, being mature in loving others. You know, it doesn't matter if they don't think like me. It doesn't matter if they don't act like I would like them to act. If their words or their behavior doesn't match with the word of God, you know, it doesn't matter. A mature love loves regardless of anything. And so the one who keeps God's word is a person in whom we see God's mature love. This is the only way to be sure we are in God. Anyone who claims to be intimate with God ought to live the same kind of life that Jesus lived. And I mean, the best demonstration of love was Jesus' life and Jesus' death and sacrifice. Verse 7 and 8. My dear friends, I'm not writing anything new here. So this message is nothing like a great revelation, you know. This is the oldest commandment in the book. And you known it from day one. It's always been implicit in the message you heard. Verse 9. Anyone who claims to live in God's light and hates a brother or sister is still in the dark. It's the person who loves brother and sister, whom dwells in God's light and doesn't block the light from others. But whoever hates is still in the dark, stumbles around in the dark, doesn't know which end is up, blinded by the darkness. And I'm like, I'm all tears here. You know, I was like, oh my goodness, I claim that I'm in the light. I claim that I'm just like almost perfect, you know. I claim that I love God. I claim that, you know, I'm doing all these things. And I'm like, if there's no love, if I feel something against someone, I know here it says hate, but I mean, it doesn't have to be hating someone. It can be just that, you know, I can't stand that person. It gets in my nerves, you know. It's like, no. It said that it blocks the light from others, and that just pierced me. Then in verse 16, and there in 1 John chapter 3, this is how we come to understand and experience love. Christ sacrificed his life for us. This is why we ought to live sacrificially for our fellow believers, not just be out for others. If you see some brother or sister in need and have the means to do something about it, but turn a cold shoulder and do nothing, what happens to God's love? It disappears, and you made it disappear. And so, just like Jesus, you know, it says that we ought to live the same kind that Jesus lived, the same way we are supposed to live sacrificially for our fellow believers. And you know, if we see someone in need, stop. Sometimes we are like so busy with ourselves, or we are so selfish. I am so selfish sometimes because I'm just like thinking about what I have to do or whatever, that we don't stop. And, well, a good example, not that we need a medal or trophy or anything, but the other day Eric and I were running errands and stuff, and we drove through, I think we went to the Dollar Tree or something, and we drove through to get out. And I saw a guy sitting outside of Little Caesars. And, you know, I thought about it, but Eric was already by Dennis. And I told him, I think we need to go and get a guy that was out there some food. And he's like, but did he look hungry? Or Eric was like, you know, we could just, like, keep on driving and whatever. He's outside of Pizza, Little Caesars, so probably someone will get him something. But no, we went out of our way, and we went and buy him something. You know, that's, so I do love, but, you know, not to be selfish and not pay attention to the needs that are out there and not turn a cold shoulder and say, you know, later. And I know right now, December, is like people gets more soft, you know, and more giving and loving and just like, you know, the most wonderful time of the year. But all the time, we are ought to just pay attention to needs and love everyone that is around us and see who needs something. Because otherwise, we make God's love disappear. My dear children, let's not just talk about love. Let's practice real love. This is the only way we'll know. This is the only way we'll know we are living truly, living in God's reality. So yeah, we can say we love others. We can say, yeah, bless God bless you. But if we don't do, it stays just there. Chapter 4, verse 7 says, my beloved friends, let us continue to love each other since love comes from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and experiences a relationship with God. The person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God because God is love. So you can't know him if you don't love. So if we don't love others, if we have something against someone, if we just like, no, Lord, not that person, or, you know, we can't know God. That hindrance getting to know God, getting into a deeper relationship with him. And I don't think God will want to know be with us, you know, if he's pouring his love to us and we just don't give it away to everyone that is around us, how can we say we love him? You know, loving our friends, loving our family, loving our enemies, loving strangers, and just like genuinely show God's love. It says that through his love, people will know about him, through the love that we have between one another. It says that his light will shine. We read a verse about the light, I think. Verse 11 and 12 from chapter 4 says, my dear, dear friends, if God loves us like this, giving his only son as a sacrifice for us, we certainly ought to love each other. No one has seen God ever. Have someone seen God? No, no one has seen God ever. But if we love one another, God dwells deeply within us, and his love becomes complete in us, perfect love. You know, and sometimes we try doing things for God or to gain his love, but it's not about what we do. I know I'm reading like a lot of the same. And it's like, yeah, Denise, we get it. We need to love each other. But this letter from John, he's just talking about how, you know, when you see one thing one time, it's important. But when you see it again, pay attention. So I was like, God was screaming at me, about loving. And like I was saying, genuinely. But like I was saying, sometimes we want to do things for God, or, you know, how I can get God's attention, or how can I please him. And I found in Micah chapter 6, verse 8, from the Message, it says, how can I stand up before God and show proper respect to the high God? And then it goes saying, should I burn an offering? Should I bring a cattle and do this? Should I do the other? And verse 8 says, what I read was verse 7. And verse 8 says, but he already made it plain how to live, what to do, what God is looking for in men and women. It's quite simple. Do what is fair and just to your neighbor. Be compassionate and loyal in your love. And don't take yourself too seriously. Take God seriously. Yeah, I like that. I was like, okay, well, wherever I went to the Bible, God was just like, this is what you need, Denise. You know, you're asking me what's, you need to point out something in your life. And I was like, I get it, God. You know, in Micah, I was like, you know, Micah, I don't memorize verses from there. But that, like, jump, I was like, that's what God is asking from us. Loyal love, be compassionate. You know, probably that person hasn't get a revelation of what you have gotten from the Bible. That's why they behave like they behave. And you just need to love them. And I was like, okay, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to love, you know, love, love, and love. And that's how I titled this, love, love, love. Doesn't matter. It's just love. Amen. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 and 7 says, this, in essence, is the message we heard from Christ and are passing on to you. God is light, pure light. There's not a trace of darkness in him. If we claim that we experience a shared life with him and continue to stumble around in the dark, we are obviously lying through our teeth. We are not living what we claim. But if we walk in the light, God himself being the light, we also experience a shared life with one another. A shared life with one another. As the sacrifice blood of Jesus, God's Son, purges all of our sin. So, as I was saying before, you know, we are supposed to be the light. And when I was reading this, I was remembering, well, when I was thinking about all this, God's love and how he's our father, and I was remembering, like, if it would be my mom's birthday, and, you know, my sisters and I was comparing all this with God being a father and my family. I started remembering about my family. And my sisters and I, we are the best friends. We love each other. But growing up, we fought a lot. And I mean, like, a lot. I mean, three girls and then a boy that didn't know what to do to have fun, but to bug his sisters, right? So we fought a lot growing up. And I remember, like, my mom's birthday will come or something, and we will be like, what do you want us to give you? And my mom would be like, the best present you can give is to not fight, please. Or we will get her something, you know, and the next day after her birthday fight, and she will be like, you know what, you can just take this present back and just don't fight, please. That's the best gift you can give me as children. And my mom will always tell us that. The best for me is for you guys to love each other. There is your family, and so I was thinking about that. You know, we're family. You know, wherever we go, you guys, everyone is family. And so I was thinking, that's the best present that God can have for us, not to fight, for us to love each other. And then my dad, you know, as being a pastor, he would tell us, you know, when, like, it will have to be intervention because it was crazy. And he will say, like, okay, what's going on here? I'm trying to lead a family, and I have a church, and I'm not going to be, he will call the family broken light bulb family. And He will tell us, is that what we are? Should I close the church and just dedicate myself for you guys to be able to love each other? And because if I can't guide my family, I won't be pastoring a church. But I don't want us to be a family that is not an example, that is not a light for others. And so that's why he will ask us, are we a broken light bulb family? I will be like, no, no, no. And we will just, like, ask for forgiveness and love each other again. But, you know, we cannot be a broken light bulb family. The light needs to shine through us, through the love. God is love. And if we claim to have God in our lives, we need to love each other. regardless. Seriously, reading all these verses, I was like, and today again, when I went through all of them, I was just crying. I was like, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I said that, and I need to love. And you know, we need to give what we have from God, of God, whatever it is, we need to give it. And as I was saying, God is love. And so if that's what we have, let's just give it. Let's just give love. You know, I read this on Facebook. I write it down because I loved it, but I didn't write who posted it. So I'm sorry, but it says, you are carrying someone else's miracle. Don't let it stay inside. Release it. And so we are carrying that. We are carrying someone else's miracle. And to release it, we need love. We need to stop. And, okay, I'm going to confess a sin. Yes, no, not yesterday. The other day, sometime last week, I went to AP to drop off a package for my family. And, oh no, it was like 2 weeks ago because I went with you. And I needed to pay some taxes for what I was going to send, which I wasn't planning on, and they were going to have the Christmas parade, and so it was getting crazy, and I just wanted to get back to Douglas before it got late. And so when I was getting ready to, so they didn't get dollars, so I had to go and get pesos, and so it was just one thing after the other. And I was walking towards the office to pay the taxes, and I saw a lady, and her eyes were watery, and she just seemed troubled. But I didn't stop. I was like, and I just went, and that's my sin. I'm confessing, and I feel bad about it. When I got home, I just like couldn't forget her face, and I just prayed for her, and I was like, Lord, you know what was going on with her. But that's what I'm talking about. We cannot be so caught up in our stuff that we don't stop and love others and release the miracle they need for their lives. So I pray for her. You know, God is powerful. It doesn't matter that I wasn't there. I repented. I asked for forgiveness, and I sent for God. I mean, I'm not saying, oh, well, I can just do that. Don't stop and pray for people later. We need to stop, but if we don't do it, we can still, with God's power, send the blessing. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. It says, everything in the world is about to be grabbed up, so take nothing for granted. Stay wide awake in prayer. Most of all, love each other as if your life depended on it. Love makes up for practically anything. And you know, when on Thanksgiving, Eric and I spent it just the two of us, and it was a very special time that we had together. And you know, we live in a rush, like I was saying, and sometimes we take stuff for granted. And we took a time to just worship and pray, and we just to thank God. You know, it's like we're celebrating Thanksgiving, so we're supposed to give thanks to God. And not just because it's Thanksgiving, but even more. And so we started praying. I started praying, and I just started realizing how much I have, you know, and how blessed we are. And I was like, you know, I started praying. I was telling God, I'm sorry, God, that we sometimes take stuff for granted. And we're so blessed. We're so, so blessed. And we need to stay wide awake in prayer. You know, our communion with God is very important. Our fellowship with God is very important. But also to pray and intercede for others that need God. But it says, most of all, love each other as is your life dependent on it. Love makes for practically anything. It says, be quick to give a meal to the hungry, a bed to the homeless, cheerfully. Be generous with the different things God gave you, passing them around so all get in on it. If words, let it be God's words. If help, let it be God's hearty help. That way, God's bright presence will be evident in everything through Jesus, and he'll get all the credit as the one mighty in everything, anchors to the end of time. So, you know, whatever it may be, if it's a word, may it be God's word with love or help. You know, always be able to be willing to extend a hand to others. So God's bright presence will be evident in everything. And through Jesus, you know, we cannot do it in our own strength. It has to be through Jesus. It has to be through the help of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, yeah, it's you get tired and you can't keep on going. So we need to know that everything that has been given to us is because of God. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 through 12. It says, summing up, be agreeable, be sympathetic, be loving, be compassionate, be humble. That goes for all of you, no exceptions, no retaliation, no sharp tongue sarcasm. Yeah, I know, I was like, oh, I like being sarcastic sometimes. I was like, okay, no sharp tongue sarcasm. Instead, bless. That's your job, to bless. You are a blessing, and also you get a blessing. Whoever wants to embrace life and see the day fill up with good, here's what you do. Say something evil or hurtful, snub. Whoever wants to embrace life and see the day fill up with good, here's what you do. Say nothing evil or hurtful. Snub evil and cultivate good. Run after peace for all you are worth. God looks on all this with approval, listening and responding well to what he's asked, but he turns his back on those who do evil things. So I also read this on Facebook, and I don't know who posted, but it's good. It's not enough to just avoid being mean to others. Jesus said, do unto others as you will have them do unto you. That requires action, not just self-preservation. Here's a simple exercise. Ask yourself, what would you want people to do for you? Then take the initiative and do that for others. Matthew 7:12. So it's not just about not being mean to others, but going the extra mile and doing good to others. And, well, to close, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. It's talking about the returning of the Lord. It says, so my dear friends, since this is what you have to look forward to, the returning of the Lord, do your very best to be found living at your best in purity and peace. And I was like, purity and peace. And I was thinking, you know, being pure is someone that is genuine and whole and has integrity, you know, which is what I work a lot towards. But then it says, and at peace. And then I thought, okay, peace. I was like, well, I cannot have peace if I have something against someone, or if there's, you know, something just there bugging me, because if I am not at peace with others, I cannot have peace within me. And so sometimes I wear like, oh yeah, the peace of God. But if we have something against someone, that it's not peace. And therefore, there's no purity. There's no a whole of everything there. I don't know if it makes sense, but if there's no peace with others, I cannot have peace within me. I need to love God, and I need to love God others, and then that purity is gonna be whole and with integrity and genuine. Because if I combine water with something else, it's not pure water. And so if I don't have peace with others, there's something else. It's combined with something else. Therefore, there's no purity. So I know this message may be very simple. You know, oh, then you spoke about love. But it's complex. We need to put action into it. So if we really love God, one, we need to be in fellowship with Him, but that needs to come out. The love I receive, if I'm in fellowship with God, if I'm truly, really in fellowship with God, I need to love others. That love needs to come out. And, you know, we didn't even go to the chapter of love, you know, in 1 Corinthians 13. And I always thought about that chapter as in, like, husband and wife, because, you know, you use it for wedding invitations or they read it at weddings and stuff. But, I mean, of course, there needs to be that kind of love between husband and wife. But you know how it starts saying, let's just read it real quick to close. If I could speak all the languages of the earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I will only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. So like when Noah gets up there and he starts like, tan, tan, you know, like imagine hearing all that all day. So it's like for God, it's like that, you know, all our speaking in languages or fancy whatever. If we don't love others, that's how it sounds to God. If I have the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possess all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. So we now all know love is patient. So I need to be patient with my brothers and sisters. I need to be kind. Love is kind. And love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable and it keeps no record of being wronged. So it's not like, oh, but that person did that to me, so I can't. No, it doesn't matter. Actually, we should forget that they did something to us and just love them. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never, ever, ever gives up. It doesn't say that. I added that ever, ever, but never gives up. Never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures through every situation. So that is the kind of love that I want to have. And I just thank God that He points out my faults and that I can just, like, you know, for His mercy that I can start again, you know, and have another chance to love and demonstrate love to others. And, let's just, if you want to stand on your feet, because in the hands, on your hands, it's harder, right, Pastor Calvin? Yes. To stand on your hands is harder. let's just pray. Father, thank you for your mercy and for your love. And I just pray that your love would overwhelm our lives, and that we can be that bright house, that bright family that shines through the darkness with your love. Father, that nothing will get on the way, that every thought, every negative thought or anything against anyone will just vanish away with your love. Your love, Father, covers multitude of sins. And we thank you for forgiving us, for having things against someone else or just bad thoughts or just not loving genuinely like you do, Father. We just ask that you will impregnate our lives with that love so we can just love others like you do, that we can live sacrificial lives to love others, Father. That through your Holy Spirit we can always love, and that we can slow down just to bless others and be sensitive to your voice, to whoever is in need, and just, you know, give a blessing or a hug or just extend a hand to help, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen.